Tonight we turn to the Gospel of John and chapter 11 and verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Here in the Gospel of John, for the first time, John introduces into his narrative a small family who were very precious to the Lord Jesus. He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, two sisters and a brother, who lived together in a place called Bethany, which wasn't too far from Jerusalem. Also in this chapter, we're introduced to the fifth I am saying, which I've just read to you. I am the resurrection and the life. The previous I ams were I am the bread of life, which spoke of those who were spiritually starving. I am the light of the world, the saviour for those who find themselves in darkness without understanding. I am the door for those who feel excluded and need to be allowed a way into the kingdom of God and to the experience of conversion and new life. And then we heard last week about the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd is for the lost sheep who need a shepherd to lay down his life for them, as indeed the Lord Jesus did. One thing is very clear, is that the Lord Jesus here is not just speaking about the resurrection of Lazarus. The qualification for receiving this resurrection is that you must believe in him, he says. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Well, you can't believe when you're dead. You can't believe when you're lying in the grave. A corpse cannot believe anything. Now, the Bible teaches in many places that until you're born again, until you're converted and God has actually saved you, you are dead. Spiritually dead. It's not an unkind accusation, it's just a fact. That until God gives you spiritual life, you're only half alive. You have physical life, but you don't have the most important thing of all, which is spiritual life. It means you don't have a spark of spiritual life. Your will is dead. You can't will and want to do things for the Lord. Only believing, having true faith in Christ, can raise you from the dead. Paul wrote about this sort of resurrection to his friends in the church in Ephesus. He said, and you, God has made alive when you were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, the raising of Lazarus in John chapter 11 is recorded in the way that it is to illustrate for us what it means to be converted. What it means for a person who is dead spiritually to become alive spiritually and to become a Christian. And it's very clear. First thing we might well notice is that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days when Jesus arrived. Deliberately, the Lord, who loved Lazarus and his two sisters very much and knew the pain they were going through, delayed 2 days before he and his disciples set out for Bethany from presumably Galilee. Now, I say this because one day, and it's not recorded in John's Gospel, but in the other Gospels, one day Jesus attended the house of Jairus, who was chief of the synagogue, and his daughter had died moments earlier. When Jesus set out to go to see her, she was still alive, but she died, and just as Jesus arrived at the house, she had only just died. She'd been dead for less than half an hour. And Jesus went in and spoke gently to the dead girl. Talitha kumi, he said, which means, little girl, it's time to wake up. And she awoke, and she was hungry. Oh, but you say, she was only just dead. Well, she was dead. Yes, but she'd only still stopped breathing a few moments earlier. Say half an hour by the time Jesus got to the bedside, having dismissed all those who were mourning and weeping outside. And you say, she was only just dead. She wasn't very dead. Well, you can't be very dead. You're either dead or alive. She may have been not very corrupt. You might have looked at her and thought she was still alive. She may still have had some colour in her cheek. She may still have been warm. But she was dead. On another occasion, Jesus came to a city called Nain with the disciples, and they met a funeral procession, a widow who had lost her husband, obviously, being a widow. Now she'd lost her son. Her son had died, a young man. He was being carried on an open coffin. It was called a bier. And it was a sort of stretcher. He'd been dead maybe a few hours, but because of the hot country, they decided the funeral should take place that same day. And so only a few hours he'd been dead, and Jesus approached the bier, the stretcher. Was he more dead than Jairus' daughter, because he'd been dead a few hours? No, he wasn't more dead. You can't be more dead. And Jesus healed him. He spoke to him and said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Well, now we read of Lazarus. A certain man was sick, named Lazarus, at Bethany, brother to Mary and Martha. His sisters sent word, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And we read in the fifth verse that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, verse 6, he stayed another 2 days, still in the same place where he was. He didn't immediately rush off to heal Lazarus. I wonder why not. He decided to take the disciples, they decided to go with him, return into Judea, where his life had been threatened by the Jews, and then to Bethany, not far from Jerusalem. And when Jesus and company arrived, Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus knew Lazarus was dead when he and the disciples set out. Now I believe that the reason he spent 2 days was so that we could see that Lazarus was very, very dead. But he was no more dead than Jairus' daughter, who'd only died half an hour earlier than when Jesus arrived. You're either dead or alive. That's the only two conditions you can be in. You can be sick, but you're still alive. But when you're dead bodily and spiritually. You're either a Christian or not a Christian. You can't be a half Christian. You can be an almost Christian, but you're still not a Christian until such time as Christ breathes life into you in faith. Now, Martha was very much alive. Martha was very much alive, physically and spiritually. And we can see this because Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was there, she went out and met him. She and Mary had a number of sympathising friends, Jewish women, in the house, looking after them and sympathising because they just lost their dear brother. But Mary sat still in the house. And Martha came and said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have been died. He would not have died." Then she said something even more remarkable, showing that she did have faith. She said, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou dost ask of God, God will give it thee." Well, that was remarkable. How could Martha actually believe Jesus could raise the dead? Well, because Jesus had raised her from the dead, spiritually. That's how she came to believe. Jesus said to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha thought he must be speaking about the resurrection at the end of the world, when the bodies will be raised. And we will be given new bodies. He's taught us about that. We don't learn that for quite a long time into our Christian life. But Jesus had already spent many hours talking to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And he'd explained so many of the wonderful truths of the scriptures. So she said, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She needed more. She needed more than assurance that Lazarus was a true Christian and would rise one day and go to heaven. And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life." He didn't say, "I can perform resurrection and give life." He said, "I am." That's the name for Jehovah, the great I am. I am that I am, the name he revealed to Moses when he revealed his great name. the eternal God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that Jehovah. He is the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Not I can give life or I can help you with your life, but I am life. I am the resurrection. You need me to rise from the dead, and you need me to have spiritual life. Well, Martha now must answer the big question. Jesus has just said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She believed. She was a precious soul for whom Jesus would die. She had spiritual life in her soul. Do you have spiritual life in your soul? And the action of Christ. Jesus proceeded to the house, into the town. Mary still had sympathetic company. She was told by Martha that Jesus was there and wanted to see her, so she went out to him. The comforting friends followed her. And Mary, like Martha, said, Master, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus could see Mary in deep distress. I guess his all-knowing spirit and understanding told him that sorrow is the result of man's sin. And it made him deeply sad when he saw what sin has brought into the world. By man came sin, and by sin came death. And all the sorrow and all the heartache and all the pain that's in the world is caused not by any one particular man's sin, but by sin. And it was Adam's sin that brought the curse upon the earth, and the sadness and weeping and the anguish that there is in the world, alongside a lot of temporary happiness. The Jews who were there saw that she was weeping, and Jesus saw the Jews weeping with her. Look what grief the Son of Man, the sin of man, has brought into this world, he thought. But then the action of Jesus continues. Seeing Mary and friends in such sorrow, the man of sorrows, we read about earlier in Isaiah 53, acquainted with grief, groaned in his spirit. He groaned. He was troubled. He was heavy because he saw what sin had wrought in the world, and he knew what he had to do about it. The Saviour shares in all our griefs and troubles. He is a man of like passions with us, yet without sin. He is the God-man who knows he has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, very well known, verse 35, Jesus wept. Genuine tears of sympathy for us. But he didn't just weep for us. He wept because sin is so devastating. He wept because he feels for every pain that we go through. And he wept because he knew that soon he would die for sinners, to rescue us and to save us. The Jews remarked, see how he loved him. Jesus was still expressing great grief as they came to the grave. He still groaned in his spirit. It was a cave with a huge stone across the entrance. And to everybody's amazement, he said, take away the stone. And Martha pointed out, but by this time, he's been dead 4 days. His body will smell. It'll be a hideous stench. He stinks, Martha said. She pointed that out. And the little girl who had just died, Jairus' daughter, when Jesus arrived, she smelt fresh and clean when Jesus arrived in the room. The young man on the open coffin, well, he didn't yet smell of death. That's why they were burying him early. Lazarus would stink. But though he was more corrupted than the young man on the coffin in name, and his body was much more corrupted than Jairus' daughter, he was no more dead than either of them. And you know, you may be the nicest person in the world, the kindest, loveliest person, the most caring non-Christian, and still you're as dead as Lazarus spiritually. Or you could be someone who's got into bad habits. Or you could be totally sold out to sin. The most vile offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives, says the hymn. If you believe, that's what Martha was told, if you believe, trust in his shed blood to cover your sin. Well, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And first, Jesus addressed his Father in heaven and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus went through this whole thing, leaving Lazarus for an extra two days before he left, and 4 days in the grave before he arrived, and then his interview with Martha, and then with Mary. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And verse 45, Mary believed, many believed, more resurrection. More people came to a knowledge of Christ and to salvation. What happens when you seek the Lord? Well, you feel a need. But how do you actually become a Christian? You can't make yourself a Christian. You can't do it. You just can't switch on. God must spark life in you. He must breathe into you. Jesus must call you from the grave. The grave of your inability to believe and trust him. He'll give you life as you awaken. And it's soul life, new life. It's exciting, real life you've never dreamt of. You know, as the grave clothes of doubt and lack of understanding fall off you and you believe in Christ, you receive this wonderful life. But you know, it leaves us with a problem. If I can't do it, how do I know God is going to do it? And I heard a preacher say many years ago, and it only came to me this afternoon, remembering, you can't make yourself born again. But Jesus said, the wind blows where it listeth. And we know not where it comes from or where it's going, but we know it's there. So it is with everyone that is born again. So it is with everyone who is raised from the dead spiritually by Christ. You can't make it happen, but you can go where it's happening. You can go to the place where Christ is calling people, and that is go to the place of repentance, seeking the Lord, confessing your sin, asking him to save you, asking the Lord just to make it real for you, seeking him and committing yourself to him. And as you come, he will raise you from the dead, and you will know. Lazarus knew when he came out of the grave. One thing he knew is that he was dead, and now he was alive. Perhaps he regretted it because he was a Christian, and he may have thought, oh, I've got to go back to this vale of tears. But he did a great job, because now he was to testify. Do you know, the Jews who hated Jesus tried to kill him again, Lazarus, along with Jesus, because he was telling people that Jesus was the Saviour. Well, you know what's next. I am the resurrection and the life, said the Lord Jesus. She or he that believes in me, though she or he were dead, yet shall he or she live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And Jesus asked Martha, do you believe that? And I ask you tonight, do you believe that? Let's sing our closing hymn.